Welcome back to Blotter Briefs, Teehee Briefs. I am chipping away at the giant marble block of my true crime to-do list. Is a David going to emerge today? Spoiler, no. But I can't wait to hear what you guys think of today's topic. So, counselors in my chambers for the disappearance of Phoenix Colden, the crime. It's unclear whether a crime per se occurred, unless you count drug use. We will get to that. But in December of 2011, 23-year-old Phoenix Colden left her parents' house in St. Louis, got in her car, backed out of the driveway, and has not been verifiably seen since. Her car was found a couple hours later in East St. Louis.
Phoenix has never stayed away all night. I call the police and they send this St. Louis County police officer and he asks me for her birth date and he says, she's 23. Well, she's grown. She don't have to tell you where she's going, where she's been. I just told him, I don't know what wolves raised you, but that's not how we do things here. She's not home when she's supposed to be, and I haven't heard from her. She's missing. I expect you to make a missing persons report. And he went out to his car, and he said that he ran her license plate and that nothing showed up. The next 2 weeks, I made up some flyers and we called the hospitals and she still didn't come home. That's when we found out where the car was. It was at the tow yard in East St. Louis. It turns out her car was found less than 3 hours after Phoenix left home. The car was found in the traffic lane with the engine running, the keys were in the ignition, and the driver's door was open.
But that description of the car's state when it was found by East St. Louis PD turns out not to be accurate. Phoenix's parents' characterization of their daughter as a church-going, studious naïf also turns out not to be accurate. And while you can understand the senior Colden's desire to curate Phoenix's reputation in a way designed to induce maximum coverage, sympathy, and motivation on the part of media and law enforcement to solve her case, it's a little harder to understand the determination of Oxygen's special two-night event to avert its eyes from the most obvious answers to the questions it poses. Why did this happen? Who was Phoenix Colden? And where is she now? The story. I have to tell you that I don't quite know where to begin, but I suppose the fact that the disappearance of Phoenix Colden takes as its topic the vanishing of a woman of color, for once, is as good a place as any, and may in fact semi-answer a lot of the questions I have as to how this program is built and executed. It's hosted by the investigative team of local St. Louis journalist Chandrea Thomas and former SLPD Deputy Chief Joe Delia, and they have a good on-screen gumshoe partner chemistry. But the way their investigation is ordered and the obvious questions they fail to ask or anticipate is bizarre, even grading on a curve of creating suspense for television. Suspense which, the many fillery conversations in the car, which are designed to bring channel surfers up to speed on the investigation to date, often kills in the second place. Questions like where Phoenix went to college and how far from home it was, and why her parents didn't know she'd bailed her last semester, and why the show doesn't think to ask her friends anything. Friends who are far more likely to know what's really up with a college student, until 40 minutes into the show. Little stuff like that, build stuff, questions that don't get followed up until more Baroque theories have been eliminated, isn't as bothersome as the Baroque theories themselves. I'm not denying that young women can wander into sex trafficking situations in the way the show suggests. I'm saying this is not the simplest explanation, and yet they keep worrying it like a bone, if you'll forgive the expression, when far likelier scenarios are right goddamn there. I mean, Delia and his PI go to fucking Alaska. Chasing down a lead based on the revelation that Phoenix actually has two birth certificates, one with the name Phoenix Golden and one with the name Phoenix Reeves, Reeves being her mother's maiden name. Do they follow this up with the parents? Not really. What they do is get a single decent hit on the name Phoenix Reeves, but with no date of birth on it. So instead of looking at the fact that the other shit Phoenix found in the family safe, namely her savings bonds, also got taken and cashed to the tune of $2,500, and that the, quote, selfie video, whose depressed meditation by Phoenix herself on starting over and being who she really is, and people, quote, not giving a fuck about her, are considered strong evidence of something by Thomas and Delia, implies several obvious answers to the question of what was going on with Phoenix at the time of her disappearance. Instead, they fixate on this. This is a quote from Delia. Maybe she wanted to disappear. That's not unheard of. With the caveat that I'm not a cop or a psychologist, my only qualification is briefs, briefs, and having listened to way more Missing Maura Murray than anyone should, it kind of is unheard of. Like, name one time that you have heard of this being the outcome, and it was not a white dude who had killed his whole family and vanished into the American West in the 70s before the internet was invented. It's not what happened to Maura Murray. It's not what happened to Phoenix Colden. It's not what happens. What happens to college students who have had, prior to college, no real freedom to explore themselves socially or in any other way, who are now unsupervised and free to party whenever, fuck whomever, and contemplate their true identities at length, is that they discover that they're gay, or they discover that they're not woman identified, or they become depressed, or mental illnesses that tend to become apparent in late adolescence become apparent. Or, now stay with me here, they discover drugs. Boy, do they discover drugs and booze. Phoenix Colden was talking about starting over and wishing she could go back to the way things were. She was cashing fiddly amounts of savings bonds. She was paranoid and aggressive around and with longtime close friends and seemed to them to be a different person. With all of those facts on board, what is your first assumption about what's going on? That she was afraid the tentacle of a vast sex trafficking conspiracy was about to strangle her? Or that here in the teens decade of the 21st century, she is an addict? I say this without judgment. I understand also, and say without judgment, that her parents do not want this theory to gain primacy because they probably feel that it will make Phoenix expendable or less quote-unquote worthy in the eyes of law enforcement and local media covering her case. I understand, too, that the show might perhaps be sensitive to the idea that featuring a less-than-flawless person of color in a program like this is not how you bring in the eyeballs. I'm not saying that that prediction is correct, and unfortunately, I'm not saying that it's not. But I think we've made some progress, at least with recent shows I've covered and thought well of, like The Vanished Woman of Ohio and Josh Seaman's series about the Lisk, the Long Island serial killer. I think we've made some progress away from the idea that a certain type of victim does not deserve the same standard of empathy and investigative zeal if she was a prostitute, or she had a substance abuse problem, or she hung some paper in another state, possibly by means of trying to get away from prostitution, or because she had a substance abuse problem, etc., and so on. Sex workers, addicts, and other vulnerable populations need more of our protection and interest by way of shows like this, not less. But maybe not everyone agrees with me on that. So I can see why her parents wouldn't invoke a possible drug problem, or given what we know about them, maybe even like understand that it's a possibility. And I can see why the show might also want to avoid that conclusion by way of also avoiding shitty stereotypes that might give viewers an excuse not to care about Phoenix and what happened to her. But the absolute most likely scenario here, given everything that we are often reluctantly and belatedly told about the outlines of Phoenix's life in the months before she disappeared, is that she had a drug problem and that she disappeared into that netherworld and died in there, either by mistake or by her own hand. I mean, these aren't populations that necessarily get cared about in a way that would let us say what became of her. And I just wish that Oxygen and the production team felt like they could advance this theory and trust viewers to feel some compassion for Phoenix and to care even more about what became of her, because it could so easily have happened to any of us when we were young and dumb and flailing about in the underbrush of our lives. So with all of that said, this show was really compelling, but I feel like a large part of why is all of the deliberately blank spots I've just mentioned and how frustrated I felt throughout on behalf of myself as a viewer and also on behalf of Phoenix as a young person trying to be seen and once again failing even on a show devoted to finding her. But it's still really watchable and not boring, even though by not boring, I mean I had a lot of all caps notes that just said drugs and then 10 question marks. If you guys watch this, I would really love to hear what you think. And if you agree with me that the whole sex trafficking theory is just so much hearing hoofbeats and deciding it's a zebra. So let me know. If you haven't watched it yet, I do recommend it. The Disappearance of Phoenix Colden aired on Oxygen over this past weekend as I'm recording this, and you can watch it on their website at oxygen.com. Coming up this week, Dr. Death and Gypsy's Revenge on the main podcast, where my guest will be Stephanie Early Green, plus a brief on the Believed podcast by request from a couple of Twitter followers. Twitter is a great place to request briefs, teehee briefs. I am Blotter Presents there and on Facebook. And if you become a Patreon tipster, you'll get to listen to and help choose the minisodes I don't send to Gen Pop. That page is patreon.com/blotterpresents. Thanks for listening to today's Blotter Brief. I'm your host, Sarah D. Bunting, and I am always prepared to rule.